The real estate boom that started not long after the turn of the 21st century made it seem as though homeownership was not only a stabilizing option for a growing percentage of Americans, but it was also a great investment and a way to grow your money. Unfortunately, the Great Recession that followed the boom put many more people in dire financial straits. And while homeownership has bounced back a bit, fewer people are able to take advantage now. The Arizona Republic published a report on what is keeping minority residents from buying homes in Phoenix, and Maria Paletta, who's the diversity and inequality reporter for the paper, is with me to talk about it. Maria, let's begin with the data, because this isn't only about certain minorities being rejected from mortgage applications or loans. In many cases, they're not even trying because they may expect to be rejected.
You're absolutely correct, and that's what we noticed. When we first looked at the data we got, we thought, oh, great, we're not as bad as we have been in terms of redlining and that sort of predatory or discriminatory lending. But then when we looked at the numbers, we saw very low application rates sort of in the first place among some of these minority groups. So we found that whites were more than three times as likely as Latinos or African Americans to apply for home loans in Maricopa County. Whites were more than five times as likely to apply for home loans as Native Americans. Asian Americans were the only minority group who applied at a higher rate than whites. And we also saw once we went down to specific census tracts and neighborhoods, there were some areas, for example, in Fountain Hills, Southwest Mesa, where whites were more than eight times as likely to apply than Latino or African American residents.
We're supposed to be a more enlightened society now, and with less, at least, institutional racism, as it were. This seems to contradict that quite a bit.
Right. So there are some examples of that. For example, we heard when we spoke to lenders and agents that Latino applicants will often run into the issue where they haven't wanted to take on a lot of debt, and so they don't have the debt to sort of build that credit score. And the lenders were saying, okay, why is that something that they're punished for if they were trying to be responsible and not accrue a ton of debt, and now they can't get a home loan? Mm-hmm. So there are examples of that that are sort of based on modern financial situations. But to your point about racism, unfortunately, and we know we're not past all of these issues right now, but even if they improve now, because of this concept of intergenerational wealth, where if your family is in a good position, you're able to provide more financial stability and help to your kids and them to their kids and so on, you're still seeing white people benefit from decades and decades of housing policies that favored them.
Please talk more about the intergenerational aspect of things. If African Americans, if Latinos had been able to get homeownership before this, the difference it could have made.
This is one of the points that I thought was most fascinating that we took away from this. We looked at this analysis that the Institute on Assets and Social Policy did in 2015. So, of course, the data, it lags a tiny bit there, but the general findings still apply. They found, according to their projections, when they equalized home ownership rates, so as you're saying, making Latino or African American applicants or residents, I should say, just as likely to own homes as whites, they saw that the wealth gap between black and white households would shrink by 31%, and the wealth gap between Latino and white households would shrink by 28%. So that was a much larger projected impact than equalizing college graduation rates or even income levels, which was surprising to us.
One phrase that came to mind for me, which is not a good phrase, but has been common in America for many decades, is white flight, which is you have certain areas, even if it's not forced segregation, we see very segregated areas, this economic aspect of things, which keeps us on this non-level playing field.
So we saw that when you have a neighborhood that has traditionally been full of homeowners and you have segments of the population who are trying to apply for home loans there and can't get them, you tend to have wealthier, which in this case is often white, investors buying these homes in order to rent them. And then when you have this shift where more and more properties are rented out, this is generally speaking, of course, but research has found that often rented homes are not as well maintained as owned homes. Then you see people looking at the neighborhood and saying, oh, my property values are now going to go down because the quality is down, they leave, you get more renters, quality deteriorates, and the cycle continues. So generally speaking, that's correct.
I was going to ask you to talk about one particular person, Shawanda Brewer, because she was someone who felt discouraged from even applying, and then her aunt encouraged her. So give us a little bit of background on her, would you?
Yes. So Shawanda Brewer, she is a 39-year-old African-American woman who lives in Phoenix. She has a solid job at State Farm, Pretty much most of the boxes are checked. The only thing that she didn't have was a ton of money saved for her down payment and faith in the system. So essentially, when she started contacting lenders, she said that they were very rude to her. She felt very discouraged. And as you said, there's no way that she would have continued to push forward without the encouragement of her aunt, who had been a longtime Metro Phoenix homeowner. So listening to her aunt, hearing how homeownership, as we've discussed, can be life-changing in terms of wealth building, creating a place of your own, she sought out Trellis, which is a nonprofit that helps with finding lenders, saving for down payments, and so forth, and ended up buying a home in South Phoenix that she's really happy with. So she did say, though, that even though she didn't give up on the process, she has many friends who have tried and given up, and other friends who don't even want to try in the first place. So she's trying to share her story with them to encourage them and say, hey, even if you're not super familiar with this, your family doesn't have a history of this, there are people who can help you in terms of finding lenders and sort of getting your ducks in a row to be able to buy.
We've been talking with Maria Paletta of the Arizona Republic, part of her piece, What's Stopping Minority Residents from Buying Homes in Phoenix. Maria, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.